We've returned from our executive session. Enjoy this. We returned from the executive session. We made no decisions. So we're ready to go back to our special meeting. And the next item on the agenda is candidate presentations. We've allowed 10 minutes each. Kyle Davies first and Richard Frazier second. So with that, Kyle, I think the floor is yours.
Thank you, sir. To start with, I'd also like to take the opportunity to welcome you, Commissioner Lindstrom, to the fold, and to thank you for your willingness to represent the people of the district and your support for EMS. Thank you to the board for the opportunity to come before you this afternoon, and a heartfelt thank you to the members of my department and members of the public for their focused interest in this process. In order to make best use of the limited time allotted for today, I've chosen to read from a prepared statement. Let me say to the group that it has been a distinct honor to work alongside the membership and staff of this agency for the past 18 years. Our efforts and successes in responding to the needs and aid of our neighbors and visitors to problem solve and to explore medicine has both educated and enriched me. Last year marked my 18th full year with EMS, having undertaken the Washington State EMT course in the fall of 1999. Subtracting roughly a year's combined time away from the fire service, I've been a member of Fire District 3 now, either as a volunteer, career firefighter, or officer for 21 years. Today, I am asking the board to entrust me with leadership and administration of our EMS agency. I believe strongly that I embody and project the core values that we have held proudly over time. While I know I have much to learn and forever to refine, I possess the broad skills and abilities to serve as chief administrator and executive of this department. I bring trusted leadership, a history of respected team inclusion and interpersonal relations, a track record of fair, focused, and consistent management, strong crisis and emergency performance, excellent communicating skills, critical thinking, and a long history of positive and collaborative community relations to this table. In the area of communications and collaboration, I have worked within most facets of local emergency services in both a volunteer and employee capacity. I believe I have excellent working relationships across all of our law enforcement, fire, and EMS agencies, and know most of our collective membership personally. EMS is well positioned to continue in our productive partnership on this level. I have a decade of experience supervising and managing volunteer and career personnel in the fire service as an officer and here with EMS as a paramedic and senior field provider. I have a similar experience with budgets and ensuring fiscal responsibility and prioritizing through my work on two county boards. As a full-time employee of this district, I am acutely aware of the financial challenges that we face and the work ahead, and appreciate the wisdom and assistance of both Superintendent Hutchins and Chris Compton, who I've spoken with at length. Foremost, I am thoroughly committed to the well-being of our roster of EMTs, to appreciate the myriad reasons why they join, serve, and sacrifice their time and their energy. They are our agency's greatest resource. I envision a future of subtle challenges, coaxing them to succeed at greater levels, and recognizing them, their families, and their support structures for their willingness to make public service and medicine a priority. I am excited to challenge our membership with more focused core training and drill, and to take advantage of regional opportunities to fund continuing and specialty education and training. I believe that our staff, EMS staff and volunteer members, know that I value and respect them, their commitments, and their contributions. With my local years of combined experience as a volunteer EMT, association officer, and now career paramedic, I deeply appreciate the roots of this agency's past, the many challenges of the present, and the potentials for its future. Despite the agency's respected history and recent progress in securing the levy and expanding the public's trust, there is still critical work to be done. In part, San Juan Island EMS faces an uphill battle in tackling staffing and response challenges, and re-engaging members, our own members, who have been discouraged by distractions and priorities outside of our mission. That mission is patient care. We must also continue to look forward and attract new interest outside. There are a number of other key areas where I plan to focus my talents. As interim, I would insist on continuing to collaborate with our local, county, and regional agencies and groups as collective problem solvers in such areas as behavioral health, at-risk population outreach, community education and training, and broader needs assessments research. Success in each of these areas helps our ambulance service stay focused on both acute and emergent response. As a member of the Board of Health and through related committee and task force efforts, I am already helping community solutions take shape, find traction, and improve lives. Positioning the mission and the strengths of EMS among these partners multiplies the value to the district's residents and visitors. Perhaps the greatest current example of this value is the agency's rapidly developing community paramedicine program, which I have helped champion and deliver in the field. With respect to a future relationship with Fire District 3, for the record, I not only support the merger concept, but personally commit to explore all aspects of its design and ensure that quality patient care is maintained. Having served that department in various roles for over two decades, including volunteer officer, instructor, and career firefighter roles, I am currently attuned to the advantages, economies, and challenges of this plan, and I support the plan. I believe my experience, relationships, and historical knowledge of the district will greatly benefit the process of unification. Perhaps most of all, as a full-time staff paramedic working in the field, I see the efforts of EMS here among our patients and our neighbors every day. Moving forward, I would focus on refining the agency's internal organization, making roles and responsibilities more clear, enabling and encouraging leadership and management training for officers, prioritizing group and scenario training, expanding mentoring efforts, restoring pride, and investing in the volunteer membership. There is still more work ahead as well to open our doors to our residents and to better tell our story and continue outreach and community education. I value successorship and believe in conditioning identified members of this organization for growth and movement within the agency. Likewise, I will encourage better understanding of the tasks and responsibilities that each of us carries. On this front, I invite you as commissioners to accept future invitations to shadow us as responders working in the field and in our training environment. And a few goal areas with the time I have left. I intend to focus all future efforts for agency improvements and mission work with the inclusion of our EMTs. They're an essential part, if not the core part of this agency, and I believe we've done some disservice to them by fast-forwarding some of our efforts and not being inclusive. I intend to develop consistency in our internal operations and procedures by lessening confusion and stylistic variation by focusing on some updates and communicating our policy and procedures manual. I intend to clarify roles and responsibilities by reviewing and reinforcing our job descriptions as they're written and the agency's organizational chart. I intend to make expanded use of our officer corps, the talents they have, and to recognize these people and their efforts so far for contributing to our mission. We need time focusing on employee evaluation and this process to maximize opportunities for all of us to grow, learn, and redirect ourselves. I intend to increase delegation to utilize the agency's internal talents. We have excellent educators, trainers, writers, photographers, members of production, and all sorts of other talents to make use of. I think we're well positioned to do this, especially based on the efforts we just completed with laying out our strategic planning for the years to come. Some more specific goals. I intend to expand our messaging and exposure to share our messages via public outreach, via press relationships and social media, and to make sure that the agency's website is the best it can be and the most current. I believe we need to restore ongoing quality assurance internally and to focus on the team's effort to measure both patient satisfaction and the best available medical care. I would like to unveil a duty officer response program that expands our regular staffing efforts and also encourages leadership and command experience. I intend to improve safety in the agency and efficiency on response through improvements in our county's technology, both telephone and radio, particularly radio. I see a need for growing and expanding the leadership training of our members and officers. Just a few others to strengthen and expand our marine rescue response so we may better serve the 6 other islands that are in our district. And a pet peeve to subscribe to EMS trade periodicals and web resources that allow us to expand our member learning, topic expertise, and to better access best practices and current trends in the industry. In closing, EMS needs investment in itself, in its members, and in its mission. The agency needs clear direction and a refocused sense of purpose. This guidance and support will best come from an individual with history in the agency, understanding and experience in our recent past, and a vision for a healthy and proactive community service moving forward. I am hopeful that the greatest outcome of any transition ahead is a more cohesive and stable membership that continually and continuously improves our excellent patient service, our education, all while continuing to adapt to future needs in this community, my home.
Excellent. Thank you, Kyle. That was right on time, and I think we'll move to the next one. Richard Frazier. Go ahead.
Like Kyle, I think I'll actually, to try to stay within the time frame, read from a document if I'm allowed to. Commissioners, thank you for taking the time to consider me for this position. The first part of my presentation speaks to why I do this type of work personally. The second part will speak to my professional experiences, and I will try to make both brief. My first EMS flight was in 1979, outside of Juneau, Alaska, where an EMT and I transported a patient to the hospital who had a head injury from a fall. This was my first exposure to EMS and something that I found very rewarding. Forward to May of 1981 in Allentown, Pennsylvania, when a company I worked for, Keystone Helicopters, won a contract with the Lehigh Valley Hospital Center, 700-bed trauma and acute care facility. This began my departure from pure aviation and into healthcare. The hospital in Allentown was the 14th hospital based EMS helicopter program, and at the time there were only 30 helicopters in EMS operation. It became very evident to us in the flight program that we needed to work with the hospitals and pre-hospital agencies in the area, because the flight program only received calls for critical injured or ill patients from these organizations. So we turned to the regional EMS director, A.J. Heitman. AJ became our mentor and liaison to all the organizations within the area. He also became a very good friend of mine and began educating me on how the 6-county region worked with pre-hospital health care. I visited every paid and volunteer organization and rode along a mini transport with them to understand what they needed to do and how they would need to how we would be able to best serve them. AJ and I worked together on setting up drills, procedures, and communications. We expanded the Hospital Communications Center to include the 6-county EMS region. Our medical director set up EMT and paramedic training on campus, and we developed a monthly patient review committee to assess appropriate utilization of our resources and patient care outcomes for all EMS transports. We also jointly conducted education programs for high school students regarding dangers of drinking and driving, and develop newsletters and phone stickers so that we could have the community become more knowledgeable about us and the important part of EMS systems. In 1982, I lost my best friend, and my wife lost her nursing school classmate, along with a patient and a paramedic in the same EMS accident, helicopter accident. AJ was right by our side through the event. What I learned from this experience was that people who work in public service pay a high price for doing their work, and that at any moment we can shift from caregiver to patient. I also learned that EMS is one big family. We were overwhelmed with support from all the ambulance personnel in our coverage area when we started back into service. 1988, I left Keystone Helicopters for a large operator in EMS, Rocky Mountain Helicopters. While I had managed personnel and worked with budgets of several million in my past position, my real experience came with this organization. The company was growing rapidly, and I was brought in to work with the CEO on special projects. While the company had become very large in EMS transport, it also performed other operations in aviation. Unfortunately, they weren't profitable. So in 1993, the company entered bankruptcy, Chapter 11. And I was asked to move to Provo, Utah for a year to help divest the organization of all of its outside operations except EMS. We had logging camps in Alaska to small airlines in the Northwest, all of which needed to be divested of. 1994, I moved back to South Carolina, and the company emerged from bankruptcy, just focusing on air medical transport. Our company and industry began to see changes with hospitals outsourcing programs to operators. In 1996, we were asked by two major health systems in Omaha, Nebraska, to merge the competing flight programs and take over services. My role was to merge the operations, help develop our first medical teams, build a joint communication center, and establish our own billing company. It took us a year to accomplish the consolidation and the development of the new departments, which then became the framework for the company moving forward. Our company grew, and the division I had grown was now over 60 aircraft with all its own medical personnel. We were coordinating EMS requests all across the country out of that single communication center in Omaha, and we were billing over $200 million in EMS transport charges. Our company had been so successful that in 2001, proceedings were underway to purchase the company. In 2002, many of the Rocky Mountain Helicopter senior team members were leaving the organization to find other jobs because during an acquisition, many positions become eliminated for duplication reasons. I was asked to take over the division and help manage it through the transition. We finally completed the process sometime in 2004. This also took me into the world of publicly traded companies. From 2004 to my departure with the organization in 2015, we grew the company to the largest air medical provider in the world. We had over 350 aircraft providing air medical services, transporting over 100,000 patients annually. Our division employed over 1,700 medical personnel, and gross billed over $1.5 billion in EMS transports. My activity during that time were mostly in field operations and logistics. My roles included fleet management of all of our aircraft, field operations to include startups and shutdowns, developing budgets for every base operation, including revenue projections, operations, and capital budgets. I hope this gives you, developing business metrics, tracking and reporting the information to our senior management team, participating in strategic planning, initial development of our CBA for the pilots, revenue billing practices with our billing teams, management of field team members. Since leaving Air Methods in 2015, I started a consulting firm with a partner, becoming more focused in mobile integrated health and telemedicine. I have been actively continuing my education, attending conferences such as EMS Today, Fitch & Associates Pinnacle Conference, EMS World, and American Telemedicine Association. My contacts in mobile integrated health and community paramedicine include Dan Swayze from the University of Pittsburgh, Matt Zavasky from MedStar, Jonathan Washko from Northwell Health, and Brenda Staffen from REMSA, which it was interesting. Brenda, back about 4 years ago, actually about 5 years ago, they were awarded a grant in community paramedicine of $10 million from CMS, which was a three-year project. However, it rolled into 4 years. She actually went back just recently, presented to CMS on community paramedicine. They had a great outcome. They proved that they could reduce cost to healthcare, but CMS turned them down at the time. Mostly due because of the scope of the return based on other issues. So I thought that I found that interesting. During my professional development, I have been fortunate to work with very progressive companies. At this period of time, with the challenges facing this agency, my training and experience could help the team and the organization move forward. While I am not currently intimate with the internal workings of the organization, I've reviewed many documents on the website. These include the three strategic framework presentation, current and past financials, and the collective bargaining agreement. I also spoke with several team members, and I believe I have an understanding of your mission, vision, and values, and your fiscal challenges. I believe with the board, Dr. Sullivan, and the team, we can assess and prioritize the needs to put the organization on solid footing. I hope this gives you some appreciation for who I am and the experiences I have encountered. In closing, I would like to say I have found with patient care, the patient sometimes becomes lost in all the daily functions of an organization. In fact, at times I would rank the patient maybe as low as fifth for consideration. I have found that first comes ego, second politics, third, business ethics and values, fourth, financial, and then fifth, the patient. Just so everyone understands my perspective, I would like to think that in this type of organization, when I'm making a decision, my first benchmark is what does it mean for the patient. That's not meaning to say that every dollar or resource is needed for the patient, but that the patient is at the core of every decision. The second two measurements are equally important. What is best for the health of the agency, and does this promote absolute trust from the residents in the community? I know that I don't have the framework and background like Kyle does. He's got a vast amount of working experience and a vast amount of insight into the organization. However, I feel that for all of the experiences that I have gone through, all of the organizations that I have worked with, I feel that I can quickly come up to speed with much of what the understanding is, the framework. Helped me to understand quite a bit that you have already invested your time and effort into. And I feel that my experience could help maybe manage the organization in whatever direction the board and it chooses. So thank you very much for your time and consideration.
Thank you very much, Rick. I think we'll move then into the next portion of the agenda, which is questions from the commissioners. You've just heard from both candidates. Do the commissioners have any questions at this point? Or would you like to pose?
Yeah, start with me, far left. Or Mr. Davies, and even as your competitor just stated, you know, you're sitting close to each other, sorry, the competitors, but you certainly have, you know, long experience, not only and most importantly with Salmon Island EMS, but also Fire District 3. And I think with the merger between this agency and Fire 3, that's precious in my humble opinion. Your weak side, so to speak, is administrative stuff, financial stuff. I see through my eyes that a lot of that is mitigated, particularly since we have a CPA of long standing, and that's Chris Compton, who could be your right-arm man, and certainly has been Chief Martin's right-arm man in an exquisitely productive way. And also you have Carl, who, according to his letter of testimony, he knows a bit about Jerry's job because he sits right behind him, and he's willing to feed you that and get you up to speed. I think that is more doable, certainly in the time frame we're talking about, interim chief here, than what Rick faces. And that is, you know, assimilating the culture and the history of this agency. I've been in the seat here, so to speak, for 13 years. When I was first appointed, Robin Van Heining said, "You come over here, Michael, and sit next to me." She said, "It's going to take you 2 years to figure out this job." And the job as a commissioner, I think, is simpler than being a chief either Fire or Salmon Island EMS. So, getting back to my question, beyond my statement, how would you enhance your ability to deal with the administrative component of being an interim chief? Thank you, sir.
I appreciate the question. So far, I think, and I realize the time is fleeting, what I want to work on is twofold. One, general administration, and particularly the administrating of the budget, and specifically this organization. So I think as far as EMS goes here, not only do we have Chris Compton aboard, we have the knowledge, the experience over the last 2 years of Chief Martin. And I think that while time is fleeting, he's expressed the capacity to me to be able to do some mentoring and share with me also how we find ourselves here in terms of the financials, and with Pam also for the operations of the district. So I think both of those are crucial. The relationships that we have so far are, I think, not just good working relationships, but close enough to be able to pass on knowledge and hopefully share the background information that's necessary and vital for me. There's no question that's going to be, that is an area where I don't have the experience of others. I also believe that it is an area that I can come up to speed on more expeditiously than some other areas. I have some experience, certainly administrative experience, but some financial experience with the my position, past position on the San Juan County Parks Board, and to some extent with the current, my current position on the Board of Health. So that's a focus area, to certainly take what I have so far and to be heads down in the ensuing weeks with the chief, and to look at the document for 2018, the current budget, and I've done some of that looking already, but that's a priority, the budget, the financials, and where we are on, and frankly, there are other topics that are related to CID, accounts receivable, that need attention that I think I've been, some folks are removed from because of the delicate nature and the admin only access so far. So I would plan to hit the ground running and catch up as
Thanks,
necessary.
Sir.
Thank you.
Okay. Would you like to go next? We'll just go down the table.
Sure. I guess, Mr. Davies, my question was really similar. Just, you know, while your resume shows such impressive service to our community, and you have a great reputation, especially among your peers, as a paramedic, my concern is with the state of our budget, that your resume doesn't have a lot of strength in budgetary background. So I know why you would be the right person for the job just in terms of continuity, but I think my responsibility lies with, you know, the people that voted for me, and how do I answer them when I say that I've decided to put someone in the position to manage a budget, to develop a budget that doesn't have a lot of experience doing that?
That's a fair question, mm-hmm. and I think while I don't have an entire answer for that, if you were to be asked that this afternoon or tomorrow, you know, having worked on staff, to say that I don't have any familiarity with the budget and the position that EMS is in now financially wouldn't be accurate either. So management of the budget, I can appreciate on the board level is a focus. I would contend that likewise, while we, for one, I think that the 2018 budget is in better shape than we thought it would be maybe a year or 18 months ago. So I think that's positive, and I would thank Chris and others for that work. So I feel less concerned, less delicate about that. But I think the same community members would insist that the patient care and the team of people coming through their door, the continuity and the sense of community and appreciation for that close-knit and high-functioning group would be an equal priority, and that is at dramatic risk, without overstating it right now, in the months and the years that we move forward. So the question in my mind is which is more easily accessed and learned, and which is more important.
Mark, would you like to go next?
Ground EMS is the business of the agency, and you've been immersed in that for many, many years. The financial component is significant. I know it's a matter of concern for everybody, especially given our recent experience here with budgets. With your other work with the county boards, have you had, would you characterize it as extensive or moderate or slight experience with budget review and processing?
In fairness, the Parks Board is a part of the county department as well as the Department of Health. So development of the budget is the executive's director of each of those departments' responsibility. Review of those budgets is where I would say review not only the budget process, but accountability to that budget and that spending plan and those that fiscal responsibility is a function of a board member's job. So from that point of view, I feel well prepared and more than moderately skilled to be able to manage that. And I realize some of that is also your responsibility.
Monica?
Sure. Rick, talk to me about, this agency. You've not worked in this agency. When you're going in to, like, figure out the path forward with a new entity, how do you approach that? Talk to me about the approach you would take going into the agency.
Sure. So I'd like to make a comment. And I think that if we were all ideal, mm-hmm. it would probably be the fact that if Kyle and I started at each end and could run this way, collide mm-hmm. into each other, and became one individual with 60 years of experience, we'd probably be the ideal candidate. I mean, it would be the best of best of both worlds. You know what? Then follow me, and that'll be okay. But since that can't happen, one of the advantages I have is that all of this expertise within the organization does not go away. That Kyle and his colleagues and all the colleagues that have worked here for excessive time is still here. So there's a vast amount of wealth of knowledge to be able to be tapped into and actually, quite frankly, be able to develop and let them develop what it is. So when we would go into an organization and consolidating an organization can be very challenging, and I'll kind of reference that. There's a lot of unique personalities on all sides, and you need to kind of sort through those and figure out how you can draw down on the best of what is there. You know, one of the things that I have, another thing that I have going for me is, quite frankly, Dr. Sullivan. When you look at the healthcare issues, and when I've sat in these board meetings for the last eight, nine board meetings, what I've not heard is dramatic healthcare situation. So fortunately, it sounds like the organization from delivery of healthcare, ensuring that patients are being taken care of appropriately and those kinds of things, is there. And there's always Dr. Sullivan to be able to be a team member. I see this relationship collaboratively. I don't see it as a hierarchy. And it's important, I think, to recognize that by working with Dr. Sullivan, bringing all of the team members in, maybe on a one-to-one, where we could communicate with them, where we could share with them at least the short-term direction that the commissioners outline, how we can learn from them, how I can quickly learn from them. I believe that my air medical experience was driving an aircraft. I don't think it's all that far away from driving an ambulance. I think that giving care where I may not have that, I do have the expertise in running management. And this is where Kyle and I may be a little bit further apart on. I don't think your budget is, quite frankly, all that strong. You basically have a top line that equals your expenses. So your net return right now is $5,000 as it's portrayed in the budget, with what I perceive to be of a balance sheet of about $500,000 or $600,000 of cash on hand. And so, and since you work in more or less of what would be kind of an elderly state of event, you know, you 75% of your revenue is fixed. It comes in from your taxes. 24% comes in from your fee for service, your grants, and your training. And because of the population and because of your runs, there's not really a lot in the fee-for-service side, at least from a volume standpoint, that can be generated additional income. And your capital budget, if I remember correctly, is about $35,000 with no application or no input to a reserve.
So I think there's a lot of things that you have to look at from the health of the organization, because the health comes in all fashions and forms, from people to finance to utilization to everything. And so I think that by teamwork, by collaboration, by you working with all of the members, Dr. Sullivan, I believe that with the expertise that I bring in understanding finances, I've worked with healthcare reimbursement. I've sat on the other side of Medicare and Medicaid in adjudicating cases, in dealing with when you bill that many dollars and so forth, there is always pushback. And so I've sat on in those arenas and have dealt with those situations. And they can be daunting. And so I know you're up against an investigation today. And so I think that would be my approach to those, that issue.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to thank both of you for both really excellent presentations. I think we've gotten a pretty good sense over and above the resumes that you sent us and the letters of interest as to what you would bring to the party. I think we're really lucky to have two really good candidates that we're unfortunately going to have to choose from. I think a question I have, Kyle, is you have a lot of direct knowledge about not only where we are, but how we've gotten there. You know the people. You've outlined what I think to be a really good program of things that could be worked on, that could all be improved. And there were some items that you mentioned there that I thought were really important as far as emphasizing things like organization, things about job descriptions, so that people know what am I responsible for, who am I responsible to, what authority do I have to take care of it, who do I go to if I have a question, do they have the authority to answer my question? So I applaud that. I think those are some good things. I guess I would ask this question. Would you be willing to work on all those things collaboratively with Rick Frazier if we were to choose him? Or do you feel that this is sort of a situation where if you were not chosen that you wouldn't really want to do those things? In other words, it's a commitment to the organization, I guess I'm asking about.
I understand your question. Without sounding like I leave my things at the party and leave, my first priority is, in my current role, is my job as a paramedic.
Right.
And that is, I certainly have all of those goals for the agency moving forward, those goals, those held values, no matter who the leadership is, frankly. The degree to which I would work on those is really a function of both the available time in my own job description and elements of the bargaining agreement between the medics in my current position and any future administration. So without trying to bounce your question, I have those same values no matter what. So how we would work that out and the degree to which that would happen in the future is probably to be seen.
Okay. Are there any further questions from the board at this point? Is that a yes one?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead then.
Yeah. Rick, you have an admirable resume with respect to helicopter EMS. It's very impressive. Could you, Adam Breach, sketch out for us a little bit more of your ground EMS experience?
So, certainly it was not as large. We had ground operations as part of the organization. Most of it was dealt with from either critical care transport or inter-hospital transport. Adjacent to a lot of our rotorcraft was the utilization of the medical teams either on ambulances or adjacency medical teams. So I don't have a 911 background, but I do have a transport background from ground for critical care and for inter-hospital transports on a on an assigned basis, not an emergent basis. I have worked with many, many organizations. A.J. Heitman, as I alluded to, who is my mentor, many of you may recognize who he is. He is actually the editor-in-chief of GEMS magazine. Another one of my references that you probably checked is Rick Shergala, who was a paramedic at the time with me. He's now a professor at Penn State for EMS and healthcare initiatives and so forth. My interaction with the pre-hospital side from those have been through those individuals, through people that I glean either their knowledge and expertise, or they have taken me by hand and shown me. Rick worked at Citroni Ambulance. I was involved with Citroni Ambulance, but I did not go out on calls. It was more from an administrative side. I worked with AJ at Bethlehem Township. It wasn't from, he educated me in EMS. So either the non-emergent or working with individuals has been my exposure to ground transport and to the 911 system.
How about fire? Any experience there?
No background other than just, again, working adjacent to many of the, of course, EMS agencies. Bethlehem Township was Bethlehem Fire. Hmm. And Allentown, which is right where we were, was Allentown Fire. So I worked with many of the agency individuals. I've worked with team members at the administrative level, but definitely not on the fire truck.
Did either Bethlehem or Allentown have a community paramedicine program?
Not at that time, no. That was far back in the past, those particular ones were. And we didn't have, in the organization that I worked with, we did not have, in Air Methods, we didn't have community paramedicine. My exposure to that, quite frankly, I think that much of that in this country is more on the cutting edge right now. Matt's been doing his for about 11 years. Dan's been doing his for about 13 at the University of Pittsburgh. If you look at, you know, Australia, England, Canada, what they've been doing, much more in depth. They're in degree programs for paramedics and so forth. So when you look at what they've done, it's much more in depth, been in a longer history. So, no, I haven't.
Okay, Monica.
I'd like for each of you to address this. Neither of you checks all the boxes. And, you know, as Rick has alluded, you're kind of coming at it from different perspectives. So, and we're filling an interim role. So, how would you help this board find a fully qualified chief?
I'm happy to go first. My understanding of the intent at this point is to move forward, and I appreciate both from experience and from conversation, and unfortunately none of it public so far, the move toward joining, merging, consolidating with the fire district is, we'll say, 3 months to get started in the short end, and potentially years to move through it and to be housed and functioning the same silo. I haven't felt like there needs to be a full-time EMS chief moving forward if that is the plan of the board and of the players that are concerned, that are currently involved. I would love for some direction from some of you to know more about what you think the timeline for that process would be. A lot of that has come from some of the conversations between some of you as members of this board and Commissioner Jarman with District 3. So I'm not sure at this point that EMS needs to find a full-time chief to stand alone so long as there is a process moving forward. If we are, for whatever reason, going to go toward a full-time replacement for Jerry or for a Jim Cole, we follow the policy and the approach we've taken historically, which is to look within and establish whether there are or are not suitable candidates, and then barring the right person for the job long term, to then go out as we have before and to advertise in the national media publications, wherever we need to, in the local press, to all corners of the country, to find someone who has the credentials we're looking for, who has the experience that fits the bill, and who can appreciate, to the extent it's possible, what it's like to settle in an island community with yourself and your family and all of those related needs. And then, as we have in the past, to process applications, to have interviews, and have the opportunity of membership at all levels, including yourselves, to meet and interact with the candidates. And also we have a fairly rigorous medical evaluation, because we've historically required that they are a medical provider, a pre-hospital provider, who's certified. So we see their performance on all those levels like we have in the past, and weed down until we have two, three, or whatever appropriate number of suitable candidates, and select from that group. I think that's the best that we can do. We offer an extraordinary opportunity for someone here. The people of this community, the patient population, the availability of the new hospital, community paramedicine, all of our partners in the community here, our placement in the region and the state as far as emergency medicine goes, and I think we pick from that group, you pick from that group, and we have a say. We, EMS staff, EMS volunteers, and distinct community members are moving forward there. I don't see the need for that at this time, and I would hope we continue to consider the merger and the, I'll call it unification, but the coming together of the two services. That's
my thank you. Rick?
Commissioner Harrington, was it on an interim or on a full-time chief, were you asking the question?
I'm asking about this role that we're talking about today is an interim role.
Sure.
And again, you know, neither of you fits all the boxes.
Right.
And so I'm wondering how you would proceed in helping the board identify and recruit someone who does fit all the... It's someone who is a permanent long-term hire for this role.
Okay. So, for an interim chief, I actually appreciate what your challenges are, because I think much of it revolves around the unknown. You don't know clearly your financial picture. How do you recover it? You don't know what your CID is going to actually mean to the organization. And then, quite frankly, what does integration look like? What is the ultimate? Is it just within the local fire organization, or is it more an RFA? How far does it reach out? So it really now I think you have to look at probably what are the skill sets of what you value as the most prominent pieces that you have to resolve. Is it those kinds of issues, or is it more from your, I would say, operational side? Is it more from ensuring, you know, your team members are working together and those kinds of things? Ultimately, it's all of it. It really is. So, again, since small organizations always challenge, because every individual has to have multifaceted roles. You don't have the luxury of large organizations where you can have specific skill sets that comes in. So I think that in selecting an interim person, you're going to have to value at the end of the day where you ultimately think that the organization's going, and where do you think the benefits that an individual brings to get you to that position. And I think, again, where my value right probably rests is more in structure, organization, collaboration, because where these mostly start out is in a collaborative fashion. Then you can work to an integrated fashion. You have to test the waters to make certain that things are going to be where you want it to be and what's the ultimate outcome. But short term, you have to make certain you're successful, because 3 months or
3 years can be a long time. And if you're not ultimately standing on solid footing. And the last comment that I would make is an organization that is standing on solid footing in all aspects has a much better opportunity to integrate and collaborate than an organization that's not standing on solid footing, because whoever is they're integrating with or collaborating with is always going to be looking at the challenge of what is it going to cost me to bring this organization in? And is it worth the value of the organization to bring it in? So that would be my answer.
Thank you, Bob.
I just had a comment that goes back actually to the earlier discussion you had, Kyle, and that is, where are we with the potential merger with Fire District 3 and the plan as of the last meeting in Bill, you weren't there, was to do what we've been planning for a number of months, and that is to have Fire District 3 Board of Commissioners address this potential at their meeting this month, I think it's on the 18th. And then if they are okay with that, then roll it out to the 24th, our next board meeting, and discuss it. Now, so there'll be an initial discussion. But a lot of work has been done in terms of where we're going, how we get there. You mentioned RFA, Rick. Certainly our ultimate goal, I think, if this goes forward. But to get to even have the potential for that, we have to be like-minded. In other words, we have to merge with Fire District 3. I see a lot of enthusiasm among the commissioners, and I think Commissioner Jarman was here, and maybe he ran away, I don't know, but, oh, there you are, Bob. And then with his fellow commissioners and their chief, certainly, which is very encouraging and heartening. You're right in terms of liabilities they would inherit with us. Yeah, they're scrutinizing that, for sure. One of the aces we have in the hole that we haven't talked about for a while is that we sit on the old Inter-Island Medical Center, and it'll go down from 900 to a million plus. And that, by design, was earmarked to mitigate the mortgage that we have here for San Juan Island EMS in this building. So I don't think, Bob, we've ever mentioned that, but I'll mention it here, and you can pass it on to your compatriot. So we're not as weak-kneed as some rumors would contend. The SID is totally unknown. We're basically sitting there waiting for what the AG's office wants to lay in our head. That's it. Negotiation there is minimalist, and if we get anywhere at all in that regard, it'll be through the talents of Jim Fredman, who's our attorney. So the rest of it is kind of autopilot, not to use that word in your profession, but like I said, fee for service, pretty much fixed. Tax money, pretty much fixed. Some of those parameters, so can be markedly enhanced if we merge with Fire. So I think there's a lot of enthusiasm to do that, and I think we'll get there in short order. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
I had a comment, questions for Mr. Frazier. I think that while the ultimate goal of merging with Fire would be best for our community, certainly grant-wise, I really sort of have a problem about talking about the merger personally while the EMS budget is still in the state that it's in. And part of my problem is that previous boards have considered the Med Center as money that's already there at the old Med Center, and that we're still sitting waiting for it to sell. It's not something we can count on, so we're still in this position. I wish that I could look at both of you and say, Hal could be our chief of medical, and Rick could be our chief administrator, and to have you collaborate would really be the ideal. For me, the board that was elected in 2015 was instrumental in getting the levy to pass to fund EMS. It was a critical time. We know that we have fiscal budget issues, and I recognize this is an interim position, and maybe this interim position is to get us to a place where we can integrate with Fire. Our EMS services are the best. We're incredibly lucky in this community. So what I'm concerned about is your management style, know, we've got a lot of people here with a lot of heart and a lot of passion for the job that they do. And I think right now they're rattled because there is a lot of uncertainty. Uncertainty as to who the chief will be. Are we merging? What does that mean? That's a really hard thing to walk into. So what is your goal as a manager to guide this group of people, this talented group of people, through this transition?
Well, I think communications. I mean, it's 100% about communications. It's also 100% about having trust and having an appreciation of where you are going. Even if it's only short-term goals, people need to have that kind of confidence in what's going on. So I think, again, the way that I would immediately try to work through that is, especially with Dr. Sullivan on board, is hopefully sitting down with each team member and understanding what are their individual views of the organization. How do they see themselves as part of the organization? Where do they see that they would like the organization to go? And then as we understand what you as the commissioners are trying to design, then we can help to best implement that. I believe that, and again, I believe, like you have suggested, there is, when it comes to patient care, when it comes to taking care of somebody that they don't know, who has been in either a motor vehicular accident or has an illness, volunteers, they rally. They rally to the need of whatever's there. Without asking question one, and I've seen it 40 years worth. So I would hope that they would be willing for the organization, if I was asked to step into this position, that they would be willing to work with me as a team, work with Dr. Sullivan and I as a team, to help best bring the organization to a very strong footing so that it can then progress wherever it wants to. And there's many advantages of moving along with fire. There's also many opportunities out there for just an EMS organization alone. There's many grants for EMS. There's many ways. I was at an American Telemedicine Association. I walked by a desk that was offering $400 million for, and it was actually communications, but they would offer it, I know we're challenged with communications here, they would offer it even for EMS roles as long as it was rural medicine. So they actually bought and configured a whole EMS boat, literally to move patients, outfitted with medical equipment and everything, for an organization in the state of Maine. There is funding out there. You just have to be able to know how to go after it. That can help to, if nothing else, bridge some period of time for you.
Okay. I think I have one concluding, I guess more or less comment. What I'm feeling as a board member is a responsibility to the community to deliver on what it is that we talked about years ago, about our need to stay in business. We were about ready to go out of business. We had had a couple of attempts at trying to get a levy passed that didn't go, and the community was skeptical. And we worked very hard to get a budget that was understandable and put it out as part of our package going forward to get the community to believe in us, and they did. They passed by about 70% that levy to give us the funding to do our job. And at the time, I was making a comment that is the minimum that we needed, basically, to survive for a period of time. It wasn't going to fix all of our problems. We looked at how could we live with less? And we concluded we couldn't unless we were going to cut services, and we didn't want to do that. So we kept the service level up. We got the money, and they're looking to us to essentially deliver, I think, on that, that promise, that commitment that they made to us. They expect us to be fiduciarily responsible. They expect us to be responsible in our mission, that we don't start down a bunch of roads and not complete any of them, that we deliver on the core things, that we develop performance metrics that show that we know what's important about those missions, and that we gather data on those performance metrics, and that we analyze it, and that we make observations, and that we make conclusions, and that we make recommendations, and we change. So a continuous quality improvement. I think all of that's in front of us. And a lot of that is management. There is a very definite marriage between the medical side of what gets done and the management side. To provide everything that the medical side needs to be able to do its job. So I'm looking for the best medical management and oversight that we can get, and I think we're very fortunate to have Dr. Sullivan in that role. And I think I'm looking for someone that Dr. Sullivan can work with very closely to provide the oversight for everything else that we need to support the medical operations, and that is that's the reason that I'm looking at the things that we're going to need from a management standpoint to support the medical side of this operation, whether it's short-term or whether it's long-term, whether it's standalone, whether it's merger. And I also believe that we need to build this organization every day going forward so that if we do merge, we merge as equal partners. If we decide not to merge, we can stand alone. I guess that's just a general statement at this point. I would like to, if we don't have more questions, we've got some more comments that are coming. I'd like to move into those. The next one is comments from Chief Martin. And Chief, we've got 10 minutes allocated for that.
Thank you. I've been so moved to be part of this extraordinary institution that San Juan Island EMS, and I'm pleased to work with the men and women of this organization. You guys have made me very proud of the wonderful job of responding and taking care of the patients that you guys do. It's amazing of what you do. My job as the chief through the chain of command is that I'm responsible for the general supervision of all the EMS personnel, their safety, their training, their job performance. My responsibility also includes the day-to-day operations, finances of EMS, and I also respond to incidents as needed as a responder or as command. As chief of San Juan EMS, I also serve at the pleasure of the board. That's what I do. Give him a quote from my past chief that I came back, that if the board wants the vehicles painted purple, my job is to convince you that purple would not be a good color. And then if your guys' thought was that it paint purple, my next question is what shade of purple would you like it? Myself and the rest of the staff, the EMTs, we have not been previewed to the plan. We have not heard what the plan is for this organization. until, I think, it was Thursday last week, that we started getting hints that the board had one person that was wanting to come for the position. There is a misconception out there that why I'm leaving, and one of the reports said that I quit, and that's not necessarily true, but I was leaving because of to free up the dollars to put into reserves and to put the boots on the streets. I was also, it's common knowledge here that, that the chair and I have a hard-working relationship. There's no, I think everybody knows that. And to transfer the operations to the fire department. Our strengths of both agencies are better now than later. And then I think the board, I think it'd be, if we transferred over to fire, we'd have a board that is focused on emergency services. Our budget has been a big contention. And when we first started off, we had several years where property values went down, and our revenue from tax money was not good. We had a high accounts receivable that we had to revisit. We had to look at. We had to figure that out. And through the last 2 years, I can safely say that we have about 3 months, maybe four, depending on which look at, our reserves saved up, and that is a good number to be at. It's not the best, but it's a number that we have that we can go back and go to. We just took a real quick look today at our numbers, and I think for 2017 we're about break even. I think we might be a little bit better than what we budgeted for 2017, but we'll know that here in a couple weeks when we get our ending numbers for the 13th month. Like Dr. Edwards says, the sale of the medical building would help us if this CID wasn't overhead. If we didn't have the attorney bills, would be looking really good. But we got grants coming in. We just received some big grants here. Just got notification today. Our billing, we changed billing companies. That is looking good. We got the GEMT, which is the Ground Emergency Medical Transport, money going to be coming in. And then we got the ACH, which should be helping with our community paramedicine. So we have a lot of action that is going to be making us look very good. We have other options too that we can look at billing. We're not billing, we're right in the middle of the road on the islands as far as how much we're billing for. Orcas Island actually bills more than us. So we can be looking at that as well. I am confused and that a problem is that we haven't this interim position that there's no guidelines for this position set out, that there is no job description come out, that there is no communication with us with the chair and our organization for 2 months. And we followed the procedures for this job. We put it out to our intern, our staff, and we had Kyle put in his application, which is the policy, the procedure that we should be doing it. And then if we decided that he's not available to do it or because of qualifications and that, then we take it to the outside. We haven't done that. It seems like we're not following our own policies and procedures. And to me, that's an unfair process to not only to the staff, not only to our responders, but to our taxpayers and patients that we work for. Should we decide that Kyle was not available, that he's not the person that we're looking for, we should have took this thing out to publications, to a newspaper. And I know that there's two candidates in San Juan County that are both paramedics and have passed chief's positions. And I know one of them is interested in this job as well. And we didn't include him in this process. The union, I don't want us to be bargaining in bad faith with them. I think that the men and women that work for San Juan EMS do a heck of a good job, and that we have this trust with them that we need to keep going. Mr. Frazier, I just know him through meetings. I don't know his medical background. I'm pretty sure that we have come across at the same meetings, gems in that. I know some of the same people as you do, and I'm sure he's very good at what he does. Kyle, I think Kyle would be very good at this job. With his connection with the fire department is truly what it needs to happen. With public health, he's very good at that. He's on the community paramedicine stuff. He's worked with Chris and I on budget. He's come there, asked questions about it. And I think that he is, for an interim position, I would say he'd be the guy that needs to fill that position. And with Chris here next to him, with Pam sitting across from him, they can get this job done. Plus the fact that it doesn't happen all the time, but we do get calls where we have two calls going on at one time. We have three calls going on at one time. Where we have an airplane that lands upside down in the bay, and now we have four patients, and now we need somebody in command. Kyle offers that kind of leadership. And again, not to take any away from Mr. Frazier, but I think Kyle is the guy that can jump in this seat immediately and get up to speed very fast with the supporting crew that we have here.
Jerry, that's about the time. Do you want to conclude?
I'll stop right now.
All right. Well, I just have a... Dr. Sullivan, I know we want to hear from you.
Do you have something going on, Sully, or do you...
No, I had to take that call because I wasn't sure if my brother had a cardiac arrest on Wednesday, and there's... Okay. A lot of critical stuff going on, so
we've got about 15 more minutes of comments. Do you think you'll be able to stay?
Yeah,
after?
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, then. Thank you. All right. The next item on the agenda is.
Bill, I have a question for the chief, and that is, and Jerry, to be honest about this, you and I have talked about this just in very recent time, in terms of the short time frame associated with all that level of process. And the momentum we have, particularly with the potential merger of Fire 3, and the momentum that you have engendered with ACH in the name of community paramedicine, would you, sir, consider extending your stay with us?
I'd have to consider that. My immediate answer would be no. But depending on how I think that's something that we could talk about. But my immediate answer would be no.
All
right. May I make a comment?
Okay, comment. Then we're going to go to these.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say thank you. Keep working. But I also wanted to just make a note that there is a perceived perception of a lack of transparency in this process, and I think that we as a board all need to make an effort to decide what our process is if we do hire a chief moving forward. And also in terms of transparency and working with fire, the board needs to be public and open about that process. I don't think there could be meetings that are happening that other people don't know about. That's all.
Okay. All right. We had, I don't know who the three members are that are going to speak. So if any one of you would like to identify yourselves, there's...
I guess I'll, I've been tasked to start.
Mr. Chairman, see my seat here for anyone who wants to sit.
That's good.
Thanks.
No worries.
So basically, I want to thank my colleagues for allowing me the opportunity to be one of the people to represent EMS. And I also want to apologize that given the amount of time that I have, I'm also going to read from prepared notes. So bear with me. Good afternoon. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Carl Kutzing, and I'm the Director of Operations here at San Juan Island EMS, and I have served in that position for the past 2 years. Let me preface my comments by saying that EMS is not broken. We as an agency have continued to provide excellent care for our community despite the financial challenges we have faced and in spite of the ongoing request for justification of what we're doing. My concerns today are with the procedure the board is taking regarding the naming of an interim chief to fill the position left by Chief Martin's departure. And this is an interim position. However, over the course of the past few days, it seems as it's being treated more like a permanent appointment. I take exception to how this is being handled procedurally. First, there is a perceived lack of transparency. Notification of this meeting happened late Friday afternoon. And while technically within the letter of the bylaws, a late Friday afternoon announcement of a Monday midday meeting certainly does not instill confidence for transparency and openness. Also, the timing of the meeting certainly makes it difficult for most members of the community to attend. Third, the fact that comments from EMS personnel are being limited, both to number and time, and that there's been no allotment for comment from the public at large. These are all worrisome to me. We've been told that there's a plan in place. However, we have not been told what that plan is. There appears to be a unilateral actions and decisions being made, all without the input of the rest of the board, or more importantly, without the input of EMS. How are we allowing this to happen? According to the EMS policies and procedures, which are documents submitted to and approved by the board, newer vacant positions are to be filled from existing personnel first, and that all employment is at the sole discretion of the chief. Now, while an interim position may not qualify as a new or vacant position, we have a recommendation from Chief Martin, a highly qualified and capable chief with years of experience, familiar with all aspects of running an EMS agency. His recommendation comes from within the agency and was made according to the existing policies and procedures. I cannot understand why his recommendation is being made. The board is a body of elected officials charged with governance and oversight to some extent to offer guidance. I am confident that the board does not feel that its members are experts in the field of administration or operation of an EMS agency and all the aspects thereof. Going back to the EMS policies and procedures, if for some reason the board does not feel that the internal candidate put forward by the chief is acceptable, or policy states that the position will be posted publicly for a minimum of 2 weeks in the appropriate trade, professional, and local media. This has not been done. At this point, the only mention to people outside the agency is one statement made by the board chair during the December 20th, 2017 meeting, requesting that anyone interested in the interim chief position submit a letter of interest to the superintendent of the hospital district. This request came approximately 1 hour to the board meeting. The request was for a letter of interest. There was no job posting of a description for the interim chief. The duration of the interim position has not been determined. There was no application or application process defined. There was no statement of qualifications called for, and there was no timeline or deadline set. Without any of these pieces in place, there is no way for anyone to do the due diligence to verify the statements of qualifications, to compare the qualifications against the job description, or to receive any input from members of the agency, which will be served and affected by this decision. Also, at this point, none of us have an idea of what the long-term plan actually is. All prior indication is to pursue a joining of EMS and Fire District Number 3, with the goal of becoming more in line with the national model. If that is no longer the case, we need to know that. At this point, it certainly appears that we are holding a job interview in a public forum, with no mechanism for input from the agency which is directly affected, with no chance for open discussion and no chance for outside input. We are being presented with a candidate who has an internal recommendation and one who is an unknown to us. My question is, why just these two? I know of at least two other individuals, both of whom have been or are currently chiefs, who are absent from these proceedings, who have expressed an interest in this position. In my opinion, this process is objectionable, definitely not open and transparent, and just not right. We need to follow the internal recommendation by the chief, and if that recommendation is deemed unacceptable, then the reasons for that determination need to be made known. Then we need to follow up with the prescribed policy for opening the process to the public per San Juan Island EMS policy, again, which has been approved by the Board of Commissioners. In closing, I would like to present an example. The hospital district has oversight over two distinct pools of taxpayer money. One is to offset the costs of operating the hospital and a clinic for the residents of the district. The other is for the operation of this emergency medical services agency. I would ask those present, and Dr. Sullivan in particular, would you allow the hospital board to appoint your next ER doctor, especially with no input from you, with someone you don't know? I can guarantee that that would not fly. How is this EMS appointment any different from what I just outlined? Let's do this the right way, in a way outlined by existing policy and procedure, with input from the commissioners and the EMS agency. I thank you for your consideration, and I would gladly cede any remaining time I have to another member of EMS for a comment.
Actually, that was the time, so we'll have another one speak. Thank you.
Do you have any questions for me?
No.
Thank you.
Who is next?
I'm next.
Okay.
And I'm fine back here. I think I can present.
Well, Sean, I would appreciate it if you would come forward so we could hear you.
So, thank you for being willing to come to comments.
Speak up, baby.
Okay. So, I did want to say that Dr. Stone did not know Dr. Sullivan was interested in the supervising physician, and that he would 100% wholeheartedly support Dr. Sullivan as our physician. So, I just want to put that out there. My name is Weishan Coons. I am the Director of Emergency Response. Well, I want to just say this. So, I've had my job threatened twice. I am uncomfortable speaking to you because what I have to say I don't think will be agreeable to all the board. So this is a little bit hard, and I'm going to just speak what I feel and hope that it doesn't cost me my position here. My name's Weishan Coons. I am the Director of Emergency Response, a critical care paramedic, and the senior EMT instructor training officer. I've been a member of this agency for 26 years. The board contracted with Tom Vanderwerk for a total of over $57,000 to help us revamp our mission, vision, and value statements, as well as prepare a strategic framework and plan. Within that framework, a compact based on mutual trust, respect, and transparency was agreed upon and signed by each board member, Chief Martin, and myself. That compact has been violated. Board-approved policies and procedures have not been followed. The chief's job description, since we're going out of the agency, has not been posted or advertised. Although you received the chief's resignation 3 months ago, and some of this has been covered by Carl, we waited to submit an agenda to the papers late Friday afternoon, held the meeting outside of council chambers so that it couldn't be video recorded and uploaded to the website, scheduled the meeting on a Monday at 2 p.m. when most people can't attend the meeting, limited input from agency personnel, and completely excluded any public input. I feel you've shown a complete lack of transparency and inclusion. I've been told we do have a plan, but I am not comfortable in telling you what that plan is. I wonder who is we and what is the plan. Two of our commissioners ran on platforms touting transparency, but this feels anything but transparent. This doesn't come close to modeling our past practices. We all know finances are important. We currently have a chief financial officer, Chris Compton, who works closely with the chief on budget and other financials. Tina in the office does our bookkeeping. The county does our payroll. One of our commissioners reviews the financials on a monthly basis, and the Washington State auditors review our books. But in addition to the finance, we focus on public access, communications, clinical care, training and education, operations, human resources, medical direction, including QA, QI, and information systems. These are all important, all of them. It feels as if some of you on the board think we are broken, but we do have the best rural cardiac save rate in the nation, thanks to great medical supervision. The American Heart Association has visited and modeled some of their best field practices around what we do. As I stated in my letter, we do a great job focusing on education and prevention. We use evidence-based medicine, maintain best practices, and practice a just culture. Based on best practices, we have always put an emphasis on promoting from within, honoring the time and dedication of our staff and volunteers that they have given the agency and our community. Our paramedics were all originally volunteer EMTs. Our testing process mirrors King County's. We send our paramedics through the Medic One program in Seattle, and Kyle Davies did just that. He's earned the trust and respect of our personnel, our staff, and our volunteers alike, and he's come up through the ranks. Kyle is detail-oriented, excels at collaborating and forging consensus. He's developed close relationships with other emergency services personnel and has worked in varied capacities, initially as a dispatcher for the Sheriff's Office, later volunteering for San Juan Fire, and even later San Juan Island EMS. He's worked as a paid firefighter for 7 years for the district before being selected and attending the Medic One program in Seattle. He's been both a ground and a flight medic. He's been involved with community paramedicine since its inception and is one of the current acting board members for the County Board of Health. I could go on, but you all have his CV, citing his undergraduate degree and the other training. More importantly, he understands the dynamics of island life and intimately understands the inner workings of our agency. If we're looking at merging with the fire department or standing alone, there's no one better prepared to lead us. As Dr. Sullivan stated, you need local and regional knowledge. You need to have built good relationships to succeed in the islands. Kyle has done all of this. Thank you. And that is all that Herb had a doctor's appointment and Robin had an Evans call for someone that died, so they won't be speaking.
Thank you.
Bishop?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. I'll be very brief. My name is Joaquin Hubbard. I've been EMT here volunteering for over 20 years. I'm a Seattle firefighter for the last 18, commuting back and forth to this island. I've lived on the island 37 years. I used to work for the fire department. Kyle worked for me for a while. I know Kyle very, very well for a long, long time. And I know this agency well. I know the island well. And I strongly encourage you to hire Kyle for the position.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, then, I think the next item on the agenda would be Dr. Sullivan. Your comments. 10 minutes.
Well, I think I see this as an opportunity. I always see the glass as half full, so this is an opportunity for San Juan EMS 3.0, and I think we're real lucky to have two great candidates to choose from. And I think moving forward, whether one is, one selected, one's not, I think they're both in it. They both will still come to the table to improve emergency services in the islands, even after this meeting. So I don't envy your decision making. And when I look at this decision, I ask, because, does the candidate understand the business model? Do they understand what, what I would be looking for is, how does that person, how are they going to provide the greatest value, and how are they going to leverage their strengths in their position? And that requires building competencies and focusing on the right things. And I think the right things, are what the board decides they want to focus on. The most important thing is that we, all of us, foster a positive environment and engage everybody within the organization to continue moving forward in a positive environment. One of the questions was, can I work with either of the candidates? And I think I can work with both of the candidates. I think they're great. The only reservation that I've had, and I have this because there's some, I've seen candidates in the past that have gone to the chief level and being a paramedic at the same time. And I don't know if you're going to be a paramedic and chief at the same time, but the chief over on Orcas did that. And he still maintains his paramedic licensure. And it's difficult to focus on emergency paramedicine and focus as an administrator. So if I had my way, I would want somebody that's just focused on the business part, and then a person that's focused just on the patient care part. Sometimes you can't have them both together. So when I heard the comment, if we could blend the two together, that would be our person. In any event, this is an interim position, and we're going to have these same type of talks once we join together with fire. And then, again, same talks again if it's a regional fire authority. And, what do you do with 3-4 chiefs on the islands? So this is just kind of almost, this is just the beginning step of these type of talks. But I can definitely, I've known Kyle since he was a volunteer EMT, and I've supported him. I think we're good friends. I know Rick. I've actually looked at Rick's CV. I've talked to his references just to really kind of know, be in the know of who he is and how he operates. So I think I have a good understanding for both of them. But I'm not the one making the decision. Thank goodness. And you guys are. So, and I think you guys have done your homework at least to get up to speed on both of these candidates. So I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. That would bring us to the final commissioner comments. So why don't we start, Mark, and we'll work our way around.
So a positive environment certainly includes morale. And I think based on what we've heard from the EMTs, the paramedics, and the staff, it's very clear that they line up behind Kyle Davies. And I certainly support the EMS agency, and I recognize that a lack of morale is going to cost the community. But I have a question for Rick, and I'd like to inquire as to your relationship with Bill Williams. How would you characterize that?
A friend.
A good friend?
I would say so.
Okay. And how about with Sully?
A good friend.
Okay. Have they cultured and promoted your application for this position?
No, this was my own idea. It's been born here, being 8 months of watching what's been going on and looking at, from an administrative side, your finances, looking at your budget, looking at the processes that you've gone through, your revenue management, the receivable account that the chief mentioned. It's been born out of that. It's been born out of the fact that I am a resident here. I live here on this island. Health care is not going to be if, it'll be when I need the service. And the service is important to me. EMS has been my life. I have done thousands of transports, critically injured and ill patients. I have watched the heartbreak. I have watched the life come back into patients. I have been there through those situations. This is a passion for me, and I hope I have a lot of good friends. I like good friends. So I hope they value me as a good friend.
Would you take the position if it meant losing some of your volunteers and staff?
I guess I don't know what the reasons would be. I don't know what I bring to the table that they resent. I mean, I appreciate I'm an outsider. And I've gone through many organizations where they've brought in outsiders that have been very successful. So I don't know that they know me. And I guess I would like to listen to why they would feel that they would oppose me. I can appreciate the relationship with a colleague internally. I can appreciate having the knowledge of that individual. It's not an unknown. I'm a complete unknown. So I'm a challenge from that perspective. And for the most part, people struggle with the challenge of the unknown. People who embrace the unknown usually are keen for advancement, for looking for the future, as Dr. Sullivan has said. So I couldn't answer that question because I don't know why they would be, at least personally, I don't know that I did anything to them to be for that opposition.
We all see the value in the new shoes, but they don't always fit.
I agree. And sometimes they fit like the best thing.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Monica, do you want to go next?
Sure. So one of the things I'd like to, I feel a need to just talk to everybody about what I view as a board's responsibility. And the board's responsibility, in my view, is to make sure that the agency has what it needs to be successful. So I have to admit, it's fascinating to me that I have been focused on the budget. And the reason is because that's a huge part of my background. Now, it also happens that I've been a National Park Service Ranger at Crater Lake and was part of a team of people who did emergency response. We were the only game in town, so we took care of people. It's not unlike the island in that. And there's a lot that I learned from that. And one of the things I learned is that when a new president comes in and cuts the interior budget, staff positions get eliminated and people just disappear. And so the budget is crucial. And so one of the things when I came into this agency and I started looking at the budget was I thought, do the people who are working for this entity have any idea what's going to happen if we don't get this levy passed? Do they have any idea what's going to happen if we don't shore up our finances? Because it is, the finances are in very rough shape. And I say this as somebody who's been in the business world for the last 30 years. And I've defended budgets to the type of executives who like zero in on the thing that you don't want them to ask. And they just drill you on it and drill you on it and drill you on it. That's my background. And so it's the reason I come into an agency like this and I challenge the chief on budgets. I say, where are we on the receivables? Why do we have Olympi sitting on the books? That's my background. But the reason I do that is because I want this agency to be successful. I want people to have the resources they need. And the other thing that I will say is, as somebody who's been involved in management for a very, very long time, I've advised senior executives on structure and management structure and so forth. I've led very large teams. One of the things that I look for is, what is the culture of the organization? And how open are they to accepting input from people? And, you know, what is the basic philosophy there? And I will tell you that much as I think that the EMS culture has wonderful people providing wonderful health services, I see a huge culture problem. And the culture problem to me is one of distrust of outsiders. And there is, I will just tell you that there is nothing that I have done, that Bill has done, that Barbara did when she was a commissioner, that had anything at its heart other than helping EMS survive and thrive and be successful. And number one on our list was helping to make sure that the agency had the financial resources that were necessary to help it move forward. It was very alarming to me to come into a situation and to realize that we had millions of dollars on the books as receivables, when in fact only a tiny, tiny percentage of that was ever collectible. Because the problem when you've got something like that is that people make decisions that are unsupported by the financial circumstances. And that's what was happening. We don't have reserves to pay for capital equipment. So it means that if something unexpected happens, there's no flex in this budget. So much as I've had people basically say to me, why do I hammer in on the budget? Part of me wants to say, which of the volunteers or the paramedics are you going to have quit because we ran into a budget problem and can't afford to pay them anymore? So that's my commentary about the budget. I have read the letters that everybody has sent, and I think it's really crucial that you understand that our job is to the community. When I look at this, it's not a popularity contest. And frankly, while I would like, I have many wonderful, dear friends in this community, and I was voted in by a comfortable margin. I feel confident that I have the support of lots of people. But what I care about most is not popularity. What I care about is whether or not the services are being delivered, whether or not you have the resources, whether or not as we look forward a few years into the future, EMS services are going to be there in the long term. And I have to tell you, the budget is scary. And we are, later this month, I'm going to be meeting with Bill, with the Attorney General's office. And a lot of the discussions that we've had about that particular investigation are privileged. So they've been discussions, the discussions have been with an attorney. But I'll just remind this group that all of that started before I ever joined the board. And one of the things that I believe caused us to get into trouble was people being less than careful about exactly what was needed to file to get reimbursed by the government. It turns out that that actually is the type of process that you need to be very careful about, and you need to be very thoughtful, and you have to have things backed up. So I'm deeply concerned at what the ramifications for that are going to be moving forward. And what it means to me is when I have this big unknown, this big financial unknown, I get really worried, and I want the rest of the budget in as great a shape as it can possibly be, because we can't stand more hiccups. So I'm going to make a decision about who serves in this interim role, and I absolutely see it as an interim role. And when we talk about process, I honestly don't know how you fill a position for an interim role and have it go through the same process that you expect for a full-time role that's going to last years. I don't view this position that way. I view this position as somebody who's going to come in, take a look at what's going on, advise the board on what it is we need moving forward, especially given that there's so much uncertainty about whether or not this entity is going to merge with FHIR or not. I will tell you that I tend to believe that if it does make sense to merge with FHIR, and that analysis is underway, I don't have an opinion one way or the other. I see the pros and cons, and I've been reading everything that's available to me about that. But if I'm a FHIR chief, I want to know that the people and the assets that are coming, that are going to be part of my organization, are as healthy as they can be. And so I really want EMS to be healthy. I want it to be on a strong financial footing. Kyle, it's clear to me that people in EMS think that you're wonderful, especially as regards the medical aspects of the job and the team aspects of the job. And I think that's really critical. But I am so concerned about the ongoing viability of emergency services on EMS. I don't feel comfortable with where we are budget-wise. I don't think that it's in a coast-along mode. And so that is my priority. And that's my comment.
Okay, good. Thank you. Michael, do you want to go next?
Yeah, absolutely.
Start from the engine work.
Yeah, we skipped it. Yeah, there are a lot of changes going on. And I just want to read something here, actually, from a submission from Laney Volk. Just one little sentence. The greatest cost in EMS is not the financial aspects, but rather the everyday life emergencies with which our agency is asked to deal. And when I read that a couple nights ago, I was like, boy, that's just kind of the essence of what it's all about. Our finances are slim. They're not deplorable by any stretch. I just got that from talking to Chris Compton yet again today. It's like, it's doable, you know. We might cut back a bit. The big unknown is the SID. We can get a major financial spanking there, but we really have no control of it. Regardless of how expert the interim chief might well be in terms of financial matters, it's basically the AG's office telling us the way it's going to go down. If we have any chance whatsoever to maneuver there and negotiate, you know, that's going to be at the hands of counsel, Jim Fredman, not us, not this board, not the interim chief. And so, yeah, that unknown just makes it that unknown. All the more reason to merge with FHIR, on the fast track, no less. You know, the grants and aids, Rick, that you alluded to that are available to freestanding EMSs are certainly there. You have to work harder, much, much harder to find them. But when you're associated with FHIR and rescue, it's a ton easier, let alone the potential to increase the tax levy rate and all that kind of stuff. Operationally, so many pluses, not even funny. And it makes us, you know, ultimately able to address a regional FHIR authority. The way we are now is two standalone agencies. We don't have a chance. So it's a matter of priority to me. You got to start with the locomotive you want to get out of the station. And the fuel for that locomotive is money, no doubt about it. But you have to have a locomotive to pull the train. And if we lose ground as an institution, starting with personnel, starting with the Esprit de Corps, starting with the spirit of cooperation, we're hurting puppies. And who is going to be hurt the most? That's our community. Because what's our service? medical field 911 response, ALS, BLS, medical services. And I don't want to see that happen. So that's why I'm going to vote for you, Mr. Davies. Thank you.
I'll just say again that, of course, I'm concerned about EMS and our volunteers, and having our organization run off of volunteers is so important. But I am still stumped as to why we're talking about a merger with fire when our EMS budget is not in order. And I hope that moving forward we can all talk about this in an open and transparent way about the merger. And it may mean that we don't need a fire chief after we have, or I'm sorry, an EMS chief after we have an interim chief. There may just be a fire chief. I know. There may just be a fire chief. So I just hope everyone can stay open and flexible and recognize that we all have the same goal, which is to provide the best services we can for our community.
Okay, thank you. All right. For my part, I would say that, as you know, I've also been very interested in being sure that we've got the money to do everything else that we have to do. I've not been concerned that the delivery of the medical side of our care here is in jeopardy, as I was about the budget when I first came in. So I was basically working on the thing I thought that needed the most attention. And I feel that the budget's a reflection of where we're going to put our priorities, where we can afford to put our priorities, where we can do things such as get some outside help and some training. That's a priority issue, and it's an issue that shows up in a budget. Where you put your money is what you're most interested in. That process of developing that is part of a whole management wheel, essentially. It's got six major spokes in it, and the each one of those spokes kind of supports the next area, and the budgeting overviews all of it. It's your planning, your organizing, your staffing, the directing, the controlling, and the budgeting process. They support each other, and the more each one of them is done well, the larger the spokes are and the easier the wheel rolls along. That's a management cycle. And what I want for this organization the most is really good, top-notch management that deals with all of those issues, as well as that then supporting the medical side. And this is not an either-or. It's not if you're dealing with the money, you don't care about the care. And it shouldn't be that if you care about the care, you don't care about the money. Those things are not, they work together. They should work together. And what I'm looking for is a management, both of the medical and the administrative side, that supports the medical. I can't make it any clearer than that. I understand that people who feel like they don't want change, or they're afraid of change, or they're concerned that there's some hidden motive or some plan. I've heard reference to a plan several times tonight, and I wish somebody would tell me what it is, because I don't know what it is. There is a work afoot to consider merging with fire. We've talked about that. That is expanding as we go on. More people we've brought into that, and as we bring more people into it, get the boards together, it'll become more solid what we're doing. The reason you haven't been told about a plan is because there isn't one yet. We're working on it. The idea that if you don't know something right away, that all of a sudden, whatever it is that you don't know is going to be bad. We've got to get over that. That's a cultural thing. I don't think that we've given you any cause over the past several years, and before that even, to feel that the board has anything but your best interests at heart. We haven't done anything to cut back on anything. We haven't laid people off. We haven't gone out and gotten bad press for the organization. In fact, the opposite's true. We've tried to do everything we can to build the organization. And what we need desperately is the support to do what we're trying to do. And that's really what I'm asking for. And I'm, as a board member, I'm feeling that one of the most important decisions that I'm going to have to make is who is going to do the management that supports the direction the board is trying to do to support the paramedics and EMTs. That, if I didn't care about it, I didn't really put too much effort into this decision. I don't want to, I'm not out to win a popularity contest. I don't want to be hated either. What I'm looking for is to be respected for taking the best talent that I have after having been in healthcare for over 30 years, gotten a master's degree in health administration and management, and run all kinds of healthcare organizations, that I know a little something about management, and I know a little something about promoting, and I know a little something about how do you get the outcomes you're looking for. And I understand that esprit de corps is a very important thing, and I don't want to do anything to damage that. But what it's going to mean is that for esprit de corps to be there, and I talked with Weishan about this, the idea is that as you become successful, as you're working together as a unit, as you have those successes, people see that and they want to be part of that organization. And I understand there's been some problem with recruiting, I mean, for a lot of reasons. But if you think one of those reasons is lack of esprit de corps, then I think that's, we need to work on that to build that back up and then to have that help us attract the people that we need. We do need people to support getting the ambulances out the door, the volunteers, absolutely. And I know that there's three reasons that people do things. One is through fear, they're motivated that way. The other is through reward. And the third one is self-motivation. It comes from within. They want to do it. And they'll do it practically for nothing if you show them that what they're doing is important and they feel it's important and they want to be part of that operation. Yeah, I get all that. And that's all part of what we're trying to work forward with. So I guess I won't talk any more about it tonight, but I feel that the management part of what we're doing right now is very important. And I feel that if the team will support our choice as the manager, that we will be successful. If the team is going to fight that choice and the team is going to not support the direction the board is going, then the board doesn't need to be here. We should just simply dissolve and say, figure it out. But we are here, and it is our responsibility. We're in between this operation and the community, trying to get the best for both. And because of that, my feeling is that the best for both would be to support Rick Frazier in this this upcoming vote. So, unless any other commissioner has something else that they'd like to add to this or comment, are we ready for a vote? Okay. This type of vote is called a plurality vote, and the vote is the person with the most votes wins. We're going to do it by a raise of the hands so that we can accurately count them. And So I'll begin with a vote. All those in favor of Kyle as the interim EMS manager, raise your right hand.
I'm left-handed.
We have two votes. All those in favor of Rick Frazier, raise your right hand. We have three votes. That concludes that part. There's a motion that has to be presented to implement the decision that we've just made. So I'm going to make the motion, and we can vote on it. The motion is that the chair and Commissioner Lindstrom be directed to work with now Rick Frazier and attorney Rich Davis to develop and execute an agreement by the end of this month, January 31st, 2018, for Mr. Frazier to perform San Juan Island EMS chief services at a cost no greater than the remainder left in the 2018 budget for the EMS chief salary and benefits after all payments are made to Jerry Martin or a total of $65,000, whichever is greater. In other words, this would be done for what's left in the budget after Jerry's gone for 2018. And the second part of this motion is that the transition of chiefs would begin immediately. That means that you'd start working together over tomorrow or the next day. And that the interim chief will assume the operational control of the organization not later than 1 February 2018 or sooner by mutual agreement. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
All right, the motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion?
I'd comment. It's still an open question as to whether Jerry will continue in the position. So I hesitate to vote on a measure when that's still an open question.
Well, basically he said no, Mark, as I understand.
He said basically no, but it was, Jerry, correct me if I'm wrong, but is there still some processing in your part?
No.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 All opposed, say no. All right, the ayes have it.
Who did the ayes and the no? Were they all? I'm
they
sorry.
Were
I
just,
okay, thank you.
All right. I want to thank everybody for going through. It is a tough process, and I understand. And wish everybody a good evening. The meeting's adjourned.